This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Friendship Frequency. This is a podcast where we talk about our real life struggles and what has worked for us. We get vulnerable and discuss our everyday lives, and we invite you to go on this journey to better yourself right along with us. I'm Tab Johnson.
And I'm Aaron Windhorn.
And this is who we are, and this is what we do. All right, y'all. Tonight's topic is all about work-life balance. This is definitely something that I struggle with for sure. Currently going through a struggle with this right now. Work-life balance.
I know something about that now. I didn't at my last job, though. There was no work-life balance.
Yeah. Now, I think this is something that I've always struggled with. Always. And I kind of, throughout this journey and learning more about myself and, you know, our personal development journeys and things like that, I've learned more and more about myself as far as my work-life balance and why I do the things that I do. So yeah, this is going to be a good one, y'all. So Aaron, when I say work-life balance, what does that mean to you?
For me, it means being able to separate work from my personal life. My last job, I was basically on call 20. I had no balance at all. I constantly got calls all hours of the night, on scheduled days off, when I was on vacation in Mexico. Yep. But now it's lovely. As soon as I'm off, I don't pay attention to anything. Everything gets muted. I have no idea unless I get a phone call, which they don't.
The
I
joys. Love it.
Right.
Wonder what that's like. For me, work-life balance means exactly what you said, being able to separate the two and feel like you are making contributions and succeeding in both areas, and one doesn't overtake the other. And I am not successful with that. My job is very demanding. It's very fast paced, very high stress. And it is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And when you are in my position, you are the ones that takes the calls and does the things and handles the mess. So yeah, mine is not that. I definitely struggle to keep the two separated for sure. So
is that by choice or by requirement?
I would like to say by requirement, but that would be a lie. It is by requirement. Some of it is by requirement. Obviously, I have to be available to my technicians, you know, my staff that works for me on, and I am in a given moment just because their families are important to me. So if there's a family emergency and they need to get a hold of me, they know how to get a hold of me, to let me know they're not going to be in or whatever the case is. As far as like the actual work part of it, I don't necessarily have to be available all the time, but I am, and that's my own fault. And I know that. I'm aware. But I have a bad, it's that fear of not knowing what I'm going to walk into. I would rather handle it right now and know what's going on instead of walk into it tomorrow and be blindsided by it. Yeah. So, yeah, that's, I'm doing everything I can, you guys, to try and keep it together for this episode, because I know how much I struggle with it. Importance of work-life balance. How would you define that for you, Aaron? Like, how is it something that is a, now that you've experienced both sides of it, is it something that's like mandatory for you that you have to have that balance?
Yeah, for sure. Like I had no peace or free time when it came to my last role. And like you, some of it was by choice, but you know, now that I have it, I just love it. Like I work Monday through Friday, and when I'm off at 3 o'clock on Friday, everything goes on silent and the world is so much more peaceful, not like knowing what chaos is going on. I really don't care. I'm not paid to care. So I just, it's important to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think everybody needs to experience it, you know, cause it's, I mean, it's important to have a personal life outside of your quote job, you know.
Yeah.
You're paid to do it, you know, whether you're on salary or hourly, you know, I don't think I would ever take a job again that I was required or expected to be available 24/7.
Right. Because you've experienced the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What are, like when you were struggling with the work-life balance, what were some signs that you saw, or what were some things that manifested in your life as that, you know, letting you know that you had that imbalance?
Well, I would get angry whenever I would receive a phone call or a text, or, you know, it would aggravate me. I mean, I remember a situation where there was an officer involved shooting. So I had left on a Friday at 4 o'clock. I went up to the racetrack. I was hanging out with some friends, enjoying the sun and, you know, the burning rubber. And I get a phone call that there was a shooting outside my work and the police want video footage.
Wow.
You know, I could have been the one where like, hey, you can wait until Monday to get it. But mm-hmm. I didn't set those boundaries. And I left what I was doing to go down there and spend 4 or 5 hours providing video footage for this incident. But, and there's many times like that. But yeah, I mean, I just, there were a lot of signs of, I would get pissed off whenever somebody called me or a ticket came in or whatever. And, you know, I was salary at the time and I was kind of required to be available, but there were some times that I didn't need to be available that it could have waited, but.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
What about you?
Listen. It's not a secret that I wear all my emotions all over my face, all over my body. It shows everywhere in every aspect of my life. When it gets to be out of control, number one, I go after myself first. and all of the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, negative self-talk. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not. That's the first thing that happens. And I beat myself up enough to put me back in that dark place, back in that dark hole. And for a long time, I think still sometimes now, if I'm being completely honest, I equated my worth, self-worth, mm-hmm. with my performance at work. Mm. And not just my performance, or not just my self-worth, but my identity. Like, if you go back and you look at my work history, the last three jobs that I've had, I went from entry level to high upper management in less than 3 years at all three places, literally one right after the other. Hmm. And getting there was amazing. But if I didn't get there, or if I didn't succeed when I got there, I took that as a personal failure, a personal self-worth issue. Hmm. Now, doing all the work that I have done, I realize now that that one doesn't affect or should not affect the other. So I'm better equipped now to deal with that, but I still, the signs of imbalance is definitely burnout, stress. I don't know if you guys can see my lip right now, but listen, we are stressed out and it's not a good look. And it takes its toll on my marriage. It takes its toll on my kids. It takes its toll in my everyday life, my fitness, my mindset, my diet, literally every aspect of my life. So honestly, this topic couldn't have come at a better time because the next few weeks for me are about to be loco and, with traveling and, you know, for work and things like that. So I'm hoping that I am, you know, that as we discuss this more, that I'm able to take some stuff from today's episode and use it and implement it and, you know, be more successful with it this time around.
I would hope you get something from it. It's not just for
our
listeners, right?
I know. We just preach, y'all. We just preach. We don't do anything. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, here's
my advice. I don't use it. Take it.
I know. Right. But yeah, it definitely affects every aspect of my life. And I didn't know that this was a thing. Again, as I'm going through and we're learning all of this together, like, I didn't know that there was supposed to be a work-life balance. You know, my dad, God bless that man, has worked like a dog every day of his life that I can remember. And obviously that work ethic was instilled into me. And through the military, through the teaching of you have to have a 9-to-5 job to be successful, you know, that the way that we're raised in America, you have to work every day of your life or you're never going to be successful mindset, definitely is, you know, it's ingrained deep in me. So No, finding out that there's other ways and that there's better ways was like, what? I had no idea. What do you mean you sat at home and made $1 million? Like... Right.
So I know you've worked remote from home. What do you think the shift to work from home has it affected, you know, your life, and how would you think it would affect others?
You know, when we first went remote, when COVID hit, for those that don't know, I work in the auto glass industry. When COVID hit, we were considered essential. So we never stopped working through COVID. The only reason I was remote in this company is because when I first went over to this company, we didn't have actual brick and mortar locations. it was all mobile service. So that's how I got shifted to work from home. And we would just dispatch and, you know, handle stuff from our house. And the techs would do all of the rest of it. Now that we have actual brick and mortar locations, I go into the office every day. When I first started working at home, it was like, oh, this is phenomenal. Like, I could do this every day. Legit, get up, walk downstairs, jump on my computer, good to go. But as the time went on, like probably maybe 6 or 7 months into it, I was like, when is the last time I showered? Like, when is the last time I left my house? When is the last time I saw like another physical person besides my husband or my kids or the mailman? Like, when is the last time I actually left my house and like interacted with people? So for me, the beginning was really good. I appreciated it. My house was clean all the time. My laundry was done. Like, it was phenomenal. But for later into it, my mindset and my, because I'm such a people person, like I love to be around people and socialize and stuff like that. Like, my friend Brandy and I would catch ourselves just sitting on FaceTime. We would have each other on FaceTime and literally just.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Sitting, doing, working. So it would feel like we had another person with us. And so it became a big struggle for me. So when we opened our locations, I definitely was like, yeah, I'm going in. Like, I'm going to the office. Because I needed that people connection. I needed that socialization. I needed to talk to someone else besides my French bulldog because he obviously doesn't talk back. So shout out Cosmo. Right. But I know some people that have done it and they're super successful with it. Like, they would rather that and prefer that. I just am not one of those people. I need the socialization and the interaction with other human beings, I think. What about for you?
Well, to touch on what you talked about a little bit, secretly I kind of think that those people that love working from home just love it because they don't have to work or do much work. That's how I feel. But
so let me
let's call them out.
Listen, I bought a new mouse for my laptop, right? When I bought it on Amazon, it had this cord, and every so often the cord jiggles. Like, it tells you this in the description to make it look like you're active.
I know, right? It's crazy. God. Like, when COVID hit, I'm in the IT world. So when COVID hit, you know, it took, you know, a couple of weeks to get, you know, all the employees set up and the equipment to work remote from home. And, you know, we had two different locations. So we had 60 some odd people in the main headquarters in Washington, and then 17 people in El Salvador at our call center. So I had to get work with them to get everybody set up. So once I got everybody set up, I went and worked from home for 3 weeks, and I hated it. It sucked. Like, I'm a like, I'm an introvert, but I'm a people person. Like, I need to be around people, and it drove me nuts working from home. It's like, I don't want to, like, everything's locked down, so they're forcing you to stay home. So I'm not going to spend all day homes, and I live three blocks away from the office. So I just, and I was considered a essential worker. So I was able to go to and from the office. And so I choose to go, went going into the office, and I did that for, you know, the last 4 years, before I switched careers. And now my job that I have, I work from home 3 days a week, and then I work in Seattle 2 days a week. And I kind of like that balance. I'm able to be home, do stuff that I may want to do. You know, I could sit here and watch TV. I got a 75-inch TV above my monitors right here up above.
You guys should see Aaron's setup. It's ridiculous. It's dope. It's sick. Yeah.
So the idea was to set that up as a third monitor, but then I was like, I'm going to watch some TV, some YouTube. But it's nice to have a balance. You know, I do screw off when I'm at home, but I mean, who doesn't? Like, right. I got all kinds of people that tell me they work remote from home, and they legit told me they got one of the automatic mouse movers because, mm-hmm. you know, in IT.
Well, even people, my. Yeah, go ahead.
In IT, you know, the employers do, you know, track people's whether they're actually working. And, you know, it'll tell you how long somebody's been idle.
You're right. So, well, even with my staff, like I have one that works strictly from home. She lives in Arizona, but she works for Washington State. Well, for my entire region, Washington and Oregon. But she works just from home. And she struggles with it. She misses the same thing. She misses the interaction with people, you know, with the texts, with everybody. And so I know that, you know, working from home, some people, like I said, some people do really well with it and can handle it. I could not. When I started thinking about like, okay, when's the last time I showered? Then I realized, okay, this is out of control. Like you're not even.
That becomes a problem. Plus you have like the refrigerator, like 15, 20 feet away.
Yes.
You know, if you're like me who likes to eat, you know, it's not a good thing. So I'm single, so there's not always that much food in the fridge. So it's not too convenient for me to walk over there and grab something I shouldn't be eating. But that's a life lesson for anybody out there.
Right. Message. Right. Do you think that this culture, it's called the hustle culture, this like digital marketing, you know, getting paid to be an influencer, getting paid to advertise products or be a shopper or things like that, a TikTok shopper. How do you think that how do you think they've influenced the work-life balance?
I mean, I don't really have any perspective about it. I think, you know, whatever you can find a way to make money, do it. You know, I really don't have an opinion on that really.
I think for me, it opened the possibility that you could be successful outside of a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, our side business, for example, like, you know, I just didn't know that was a thing. Like, right. I really was raised to believe that you got to work yourself to death and then you retire. Like, and that's the only way. So I think having this burst of influencers and, you know, digital marketing or network marketing, all of these things come onto the scene kind of during those years where COVID was around and we were all forced to be in our house or whatever. I think it kind of opened some doors for people just for possibilities, you know, you don't know what is possible. So it That's definitely true. Made me look at things differently, i.e. prove it. You know what I mean? Right. It definitely kind of opened my eyes to, you know, the possibility of working for myself versus spending my life building someone else's dream. You know what I mean? So
that's true. I mean, I didn't look at it that way, but yeah.
Yeah. For I mean, sure. God bless. Listen, you see these little kids on TikTok and they're literally, or not even TikTok, on YouTube that are millionaires because they've come on and they've created some sort of following, some sort of show. How do I know? My kids watch it. Right. Like, they watch other kids play video games on YouTube. I don't even know what that's about. Like,
but, I don't get it.
But, yeah, these kids are set for the rest of their life, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, listen,
you got people like Mr. Beast who, like, you know, decided, you know, because other people became rich or famous on YouTube that they were going to start a YouTube channel. And, you know, who knew what it would have grown up to what it is now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, I just think it opens up other opportunities.
Yeah.
I just heard something today about X, formerly known as Twitter, is going to start paying content creators to create stuff on the platform. Just like TikTok and Facebook and YouTube and all them. So,
I mean, it just opens that door and opens the possibility up for someone that would probably never know differently. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, I'm here for that. What are some practical strategies, Aaron, that you've used in your work-life balance? Let me get my pen. Hold on. Okay. Continue.
practical strategies, huh? Let's see. I guess the big one would be setting boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, it's huge for me, you know, and sticking to the designate, like my current job, sticking to the dedicated hours and not even responding to an email, you know, outside those hours, you know? So, and I guess time management for sure.
Yeah. Time management, I think, is huge. I started using, like, my days have gotten so full and so busy between work and kids and us and everything that we have going on. Like, I had to literally, like, block out time for certain things in my calendar to keep me, you know, being able to move through my day efficiently. And the calendar has been revised many, many times. And it still is a work in progress because it's not exact. Like, my balance is still not where I want it to be. Yeah. So I'll continue to revise it until it gets there. But I am a firm believer in blocking out time. And I think that you have to be intentional with it. I listened to this podcast with Ed Milet and Rob Dyrdek. Which it caught me off guard because I didn't expect Rob Dyrdek to be that, like, intentional and serious. He's so wild on TV, right? Yeah. Like, his persona. But this podcast was so straightforward and so intentional. And it was about how he has managed his time so efficiently and become successful in all of these things that he does. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I grabbed onto that. Like, that was the one thing that I was like, okay, if I can just figure out how to use my time in the most efficient manner, i.e. we're filming our podcast. I have my laundry going upstairs because I'm leaving to go out of town here in a couple weeks. Like, if I can just figure out how to use my time the most efficiently, then I can fit in everything that I want to in a day. And so I just keep revising this calendar, revising. And I mean, literally wake up, meditate, drive to work. Like even the simple stuff I have in there in set times, because that's still part of my day. Like I still have to factor in that time. So time management is huge. And listen, I am the world's worst about getting caught in the scrolling machine. And I have had to really buckle down and put it down. Don't pick it up. Get your stuff done. Do what you need to do. And then maybe you will have time for it. And maybe you won't. Right. So, you know, yeah, time management, huge, huge, huge.
Yeah, whatever so. That doesn't suit us, you know, we set to the side.
And that could be good or bad, y'all. Let's be for real. Like, that could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. I definitely am one that, like, the time management is, and I think it's because I can control it. That's why I'm so drawn to it. The time management is probably, because I'm, let's be honest, if I have to set a boundary, it probably, I'm not that great at it yet. Like, I'm still practicing it and still trying to get comfortable with it. And, but the time management, listen, I can grab onto that and hold on to it. Like, so yeah, that's probably the most effective one I use for me.
Something that you can control, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I didn't think about that till I said it just now. Thanks for calling that out, friend. Appreciate it. No problem.
That's what I'm here for. That's what I paid the big bucks for.
Right? What are some, I mean, time management, setting boundaries. How much do you think, and I honestly don't even know if I want to go into this. You know, do you feel like your workplace, like, you know, fosters a culture of work-life balance?
My current job, yeah.
Yeah.
My last job, no, not at all. But, you know, I'm grateful for it. You know, they don't bother me outside my work hours. Unless, you know, there's been one situation. I mean, and something else that I've learned, too, is when I go to bed, I turn my ringer off on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, so I don't wake up until my alarm goes off, and I'm not going to get any messages or phone calls until I wake up. So that's my boundaries that I've set for myself, because I used to always leave my phone on that I'm available. Yeah. So, you know, regardless of whether it's work or personal, I just simply turn my phone off. It's like, don't bother me while I'm sleeping. And I'll respond to it when I wake up. So,
yeah, I think that's important. I know you and I both do that. Even with each other, we do that. Yeah. And, we are good about respecting that boundary for each other. But yeah, I turn my do not disturb on about 8 o'clock. And my kids and my husband and Aaron, I believe, are the only, and my mother-in-law, obviously, are the only ones that can get through after that do not disturb in case of an emergency.
See, now you're making me feel bad because you're even turned off, but
that's okay, though. That's
okay. I don't know if the Android allows.
It's from when we did the playbook, and I woke up late for the hike. Remember? Mm-hmm. So from that point on, I have always it's just. I mean, it's for especially my kids and Jason. Yeah. Obviously, emergency situations. You know, and there have been times where my daughter has called me in the middle of the night, when she had an active shooter in her apartment building, stuff like that. So obviously, but yeah, after the do not disturb, I don't, pick up my phone again. I try not to, if it's not, you know, an emergency. I have to do that for my own sanity. So I completely relate to that 100%. So it goes on at 8 and I think it stops at 5. No, 4 because I get up at 4. But on the weekends, it goes on at 8 and doesn't go off until 8 a.m. So just so I can have the morning to...
When you should be walking at 8 a.m.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I know. But I want that on the weekends. I treasure my weekends, mm-hmm. the mornings. You know, when during the week, now that I'm getting up earlier, I have a little more time in the mornings to kind of decompress, or not decompress, but kind of set myself up for the day that I want. Mm-hmm. But on the weekends, I'm super intentional about it because I have everybody at home with me. So I want to, you know, take that time to just get my head right for the morning and set my intentions for the day. So mm-hmm. I just leave it on a little longer. So, and it's so easy for me to do that. It's so easy for me to do that now with work.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a struggle sometimes.
It is a struggle. But I mean, just like in everything else in our life, I have to take my responsibility in it too. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely can make the choice to set these boundaries. And I definitely can hold to those boundaries. Now, the consequence of doing that, I don't know. And that's gotta be the question, right? Like, am I willing to face whatever consequences come with me setting those boundaries? So we'll see. Stay tuned. Just kidding. How do you think work-life balance intertwines with like your personal well-being?
I think it's huge.
Yeah.
Look at you all stressed out over there. And for me,
the fucking audacity. The audacity. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I've already talked about it. I mean, I think it's imperative that it's not the well-being. You could be like crazy psychotic from not having a work-life balance like I was at my last job versus, you know, having peace and serenity and not have to worry about work on your time off. I mean, I think it's imperative.
And you know, like I've messaged you in the heat of some moments at work and then I think to myself, yeah, but bitch, you got a mortgage and a car payment and a whole ass everything to pay for. Right. Like, you better pull it together. So it's just, you know, I really need to work on where that balance lies for me and set those boundaries and learn how to keep them. Because when I don't, the first thing that goes is my own personal well-being. 100%. 100%. You know, and let's be real. I'm giving to someone or something else that would, you know, has a business to run and would replace me tomorrow if needed. That's just what it is. So what are some things that Mr. Jedi that we can use for mindfulness and stress reduction, sir? Just kidding. I'm kidding, not kidding.
I mean, meditation really helps, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. Have a stress ball like Tabitha's got over there.
Damn it.
Right? But, you know, just, you know, be able to learn to set boundaries and, you know, so you could be at peace. I don't know.
Was there ever a point, Aaron, where you had a conversation with your past employer about like how stressed out you were or, you know what I mean? Like, and if there was, what did that look like?
I mean, not necessarily a conversation, but other than, you know, I told them like, it came down to money, really. It was just like, you know, you guys, you know, work me to death. I'm on call 24/7. We're supposed to have, you know, our network engineer, you know, cover it since you guys pay a retainer to him and he doesn't do shit. So, you know, there's been some discussion about it. And at my last review previous to me getting laid off, I was paid hourly, and I went into my review and I had like over 200 and something hours of overtime.
Jesus.
I brought to them, I was like, hey, how about you guys pay me salary? And they came to me and said, we'll go ahead and pay you salary, but we want you to work less hours. And I was like, cool. So I took that to heart and I just started like having that separation and setting boundaries that, you know, there's certain things that I need to respond to that's an emergency, but you know, somebody calling me that their second monitor is not working or they can't print is not an emergency. It can wait until I'm
right
on the, you know, scheduled to work again. So, you know,
I can only imagine in the IT world too, because like I'm thinking about all the times I've called IT for my stuff, and listen, it is an emergency right then for us.
Like, it's an emergency for everybody.
Right, I mean, exactly. But I understand what you're saying now.
That's why I got this cup. I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you.
I'm trying to think of what the last thing I called them about was. It was something so nominal. And then, of course, the second I got them on the phone, I was like, oh, never mind.
That's usually how it goes. Like,
yeah, yeah. I can only imagine. You know, I can't say that I've ever sat down at this current job. I can't say that I've sat down and had the full-blown heartfelt conversation about where I'm at. And again, that's on my side of the street, you know. Mm-hmm. I can at my last job, multiple times I tried to. And it, you know, was better for a little while, and then things just went back to what they were on top of that. Ultimately, I decided to leave that company, and it wasn't just me, but a few other people came with me and, you know, went to a different company. So it definitely, I think if you feel like you have that culture at your workplace, or you feel like there is that open door for you to have that conversation, I definitely think that is something that I need to try. Yeah. I definitely think that that will help me. And for me, I'm not saying for everybody, for me, there's so much guilt and shame associated with that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can see it for myself. Like a lot of the stuff, like you talked about earlier in the podcast about you define how you did it, your job or your role, but like it defined, like it was your personality. And, you know, I was in construction for 15, 20 years of my life until I injured my back. And then I got into the IT world and I tried to prove myself. And that was kind of why things got the way that they did with my last employer. Where they just...
God, I relate to that so much.
They expected it out of me because it was something that I did.
Yeah.
And it was something that I caused. And then finally I got to a point where I was like built up such huge resentment against my employer and the stuff that was going on that I would get pissed about it. And, you know, when they didn't see the value in me by the raise that they gave me, I went off and I did it multiple times, and I probably should have been fired, but I didn't get fired. And eventually I got what I wanted, but in the long run, I got let go at the end of February of this year. So, but it was probably a good thing for me because I think that job ran its course, and, you know, I took the next 2-3 months off and traveled, went to Hawaii for the first time. And
do you think if you wouldn't have been laid off, do you think that you would have walked away eventually?
I meant that was the plan. Like, I became the longshoreman and I had finished training when I was still at that job, and I took some time off from doing the longshoreman thing to get my health under control, because I was 400 and something pounds and there was no way that I could do the longshoreman thing being that big. I mean, you have to crawl in through, you know, right, railings and stuff on ships, and I just wasn't physically able to do that. And then, so eventually I was planning on leaving that job and they knew that. But when it came down to that, there was no work at the port. So I think eventually if things got bad enough, I would have left. But
I asked that.
I don't like change. So yeah. I have a lot of fear leaving a job and having to go get a new job. So, you know, when they laid me off, I was kind of forced to do it. So there's a lot of things in my life that I need to do, but I don't do out of fear or whatever. And it all comes down to, you know, belief in myself, really.
And the reason I ask that is because now, knowing and looking back, and now that you're in this job that you really enjoy, I look at it now as God did for you what you couldn't do for yourself.
You know what I mean? It's true.
God, the universe, whatever, whoever, whoever you talk to, people. So I think that there's some truth in that. You know what I mean? I definitely relate to what you're saying 100%. In every single job, and especially this one, because it is male dominated and I am a girl, female. So, you know, I gotta be the biggest, baddest and jump in both feet and just outdo everything and everyone around me. And I do it every time. I'm really good at it. And then, like you said, I get super resentful because then it starts to feel like it's being taken advantage of.
It's crazy because we built that culture and by and allowing that stuff to go on, or our self-worth, so we, you know, dive into that job like 100%, and then we just develop resentments when they stop keep taking. And,
dude, my identity and self-worth 100% laid in my performance at work. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. 100%. And I recognized that probably, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And it was 3 years ago. I know exactly when it was. And that's when I finally started to realize, like, okay, you're giving more than you will ever get back. And you have to figure out a way to start working towards this work-life balance. And here we are 3 years later, still struggling. I mean, obviously it's better for me. Don't get me wrong. It used to be 10 times even more, you know, unbalanced than it is now, and it's still a work in progress, but yeah, I can definitely recognize it for sure. And just like we say with everything else, the first thing you can do is be aware and recognize it. So yeah,
100%.
God,
I mean, Not to say you're a man, but you're just like a man when it comes to like work.
Oh,
like
100%.
99% of men, I would say, like, define their self-worth on their job and how well they do their job.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. Like,
that is definitely the masculine energy in me, 100%. And if anybody has ever seen me at work in the thick of it, they would be like, holy shit, that is Tabitha on a whole nother level. Like some people don't, they don't realize that there's, it's almost a completely different personality, you know?
So I remember you telling me that a guy in another division that's the same role as you is like intimidated by you because you're Tabitha.
And listen, I'm proud of that. I'm super proud of that. And I think that's where the guilt and shame comes from, for me feeling like I don't have the work-life balance, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like I know how successful I am and I know how successful I can be. And then to have this feeling sitting in the background that I'm not as successful as I want to be at home, and I'm not as successful as I want to be in my personal life. And it's like, it's a conflict, a constant conflict. And that's where the guilt and shame comes from, because I feel like I should be able to do all of it.
Like your job is something that you can control, but the rest of it, I mean, the other stuff you can kind of control, but the job is more something that you can control, you can ascertain because you put in the work. So,
yeah.
So let's touch on like long-term goals versus short-terms and the importance of looking for work-life balance as a long-term goal rather than a short-term goal.
Yeah. So for me right now, the next couple of weeks before we got on and we're recording, we just were having this conversation. You know, listen, y'all, I'm super proud of myself. My fitness and my diet have been on point for like 3 weeks straight. The consistency train is rolling really hard over here right now.
That's good.
I'm super proud of myself for that, because it's been a struggle, y'all, for real. But the next couple of weeks, I am traveling quite a bit. I will be in Vegas. I will be in Reno. I will be back in Washington. And then I will be in Oregon. All in a 2-week span. I've already made sure that all of my hotels have gyms. So check. Got that. What I'm concerned about is my nutrition. My goal is to hit 185 grams of protein every day. And listen, the struggle is real, y'all. The struggle is real. So there will be a lot of dinners and a lot of eating out. So I'm just going to make sure that I can make the smartest choice that I can make. And Jason and I, because Jason will be with me for all of this traveling. We didn't rent a car originally. We ended up renting a car. So I can go to the grocery store to get, you know, the snacks and the drinks and the things that I need to make sure that I'm successful and I stay on track. So my short-term goal is to just stay consistent in what I'm doing right now over this next 3-week period and just keep building that consistency muscle as far as my personal life goes. Work life, I'm really bad about procrastinating. And I don't mean like the big stuff. The big stuff, I'll jump right in. It's the little stuff that I procrastinate on. And I want to make sure that I don't get a list backed up for myself where I am having to work on a weekend or an evening or in my free time. And just make sure I stay anchored in myself and in the success that I'm having in my personal life right now. I think it's huge that Jason is going to be with me instead of staying at home, because when we travel separately like that, my mind goes, I'm my own worst enemy. I can tell myself a story that will be so far off that is not true, but I've convinced myself it's the truth. So I'm super grateful he's going with me. And that's my short-term goals. Long-term, I need to get my freedom back. I need to figure out this work-life balance and make it work for me and for my family and be able to leave it at the front door and not bring it in this house with me.
And in terms of those small things that you need to do that you talked mm-hmm. about, you don't want them to build up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a suggestion, because you talked about it earlier, is to set them work blocks.
Yeah.
On those items so they don't get backed up. So you're not finding yourself happen to work outside of normal hours that you do work, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's definitely, it's the little, it's like the small stuff that I'm like, oh shit, I forgot to, you know what I mean? I need to make a side list, which I'm shocked I don't have one already because I am such a list person. But it's that type of stuff. And then by the end of the week, there's like 10 things. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, you know, I got to get these done.
And these are all work things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so just little.
Don't you have a separate work calendar set different I do. From your personal that yep. you can
yeah. put and those I need in? That's what I need to put them in, is I have them and I need to put them in that calendar instead of just leaving them on like the piece of paper that is sitting right here. I need to actually put them into the calendar as a block to get it done. So yeah.
Maybe I'll spend time. My past employer made fun of me because I had god awful amounts of sheets of paper on my desk that I just wrote down notes
for
stuff to do instead of like, you know, organize it. I just had like sheets of paper.
Like, you know, something else that I started doing that's it has turned out to be super helpful, meeting notes. And it's Read AI notes or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's some app that comes up on Google because all of our stuff is Google based at work. Mm-hmm. So anytime we jump into a meeting, the AI assistant automatically goes into the meeting with us and just gives me a brief breakdown of this is what you talked about. This is what needs to be. This is the action plan. That life's it, listen, I'm all for technology. I get it. I know some people are like, oh, scary, like AI, blah, blah, blah. If it can help me keep my marbles from being all over the place, I'm here for it. Right. Now, if a robot tries to come in and choke me in the middle of the night, that's a different story. But, you know, as of right now, there's no robots. So I'm here for it.
Screw them robots.
Right? But yeah. What about for you?
But I would say, like, personal life would definitely be get back on track with my health. I've been kind of eating like crap and not being consistent at the gym. Work-wise, I'm cool there. Like, I'm in a good spot, you know, so I don't, you know, I could always, go for it. What were you going to say?
He knows I'm going to say something smart. But what I really was going to say is I'm super happy that you have that now. I've been to Aaron's work. Him and I have had lunch there. You guys, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's like right on the waterfront. Mm-hmm. And the food was amazing. I'm super happy that you have that.
Yeah, it's pretty peaceful being on the water. Like I hated traffic and it, you know, each direction, you know, into work and leaving work, you know, it takes about an hour and 15 minutes. And I used to hate driving in traffic, like with the passion. And I'm not going to say I love it now, but like I would get so angry at drivers yelling at them in the past. And now I just throw on like a motivational podcast, Ed Milet or whatever, and just listen to that. And it like changes the whole dynamic of, you know, the drive home. Like it's a big difference between listening to music and driving home or listening to something that's more valuable to my life.
Yeah.
Than, you know, that helps me, you know, be the best version of myself. So,
yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I'm here for it. So that's why you should listen to this podcast, because it'll help you be the best version.
Shout out. Woo-woo! Plug. Right? And yes, if any of you are wondering, yes, I do listen to our podcast. Aaron and I both do. Yeah. As soon as a new episode launches, we go and check it out. I have even listened from beginning to where we are now. Yeah. And I'm super proud of us. So
it's a big change. I got that 75-inch TV up above, and I sit here watching, you know, the podcast when they get released. So not because of ego, just finding ways that we can improve or
improve. Whatever. Absolutely, you know, absolutely.
I got a horrible memory, so I don't always remember what I say. So I gotta go back and get reminded. So
yeah, definitely improvement. That's why I listen to them. Yeah. And to this one will be so I can take something from it, literally. Yeah. So yeah. Well,
it's been amazing. We have
anything else?
No, I think that's it.
You know, we'll have to update y'all on this one. We'll have to revisit this one and see how we are, see how I've progressed in my goals and how the work-life balance is coming along, because I think this is, I know if we struggle with it, I know we're not alone in that. So be curious to see who else can identify with this one.
For sure.
So yeah, we'll have to revisit this one at some point. So,
awesome. Well, again,
take us out.
Thank you all for listening. Be sure to comment any topic ideas that you may have. We'd love to hear them. So peace. I hope you
absolutely
have a great day.
Good night.
Please like and subscribe and share, and don't be afraid to reach out to us with feedback and topic ideas. We are here to offer hope to everyone, and we cannot do it without you. Until next time, I'm Aaron.
I'm Tab.
And this is the friendship we can see. This is who we are, and this is what we do. Have a good night. Peace.
Good night.